Vision has been defined as a clear mental portrait of a preferable future. A clear mental portrait of a preferable future. When we get a glimpse of, for instance, heaven in the Scriptures, we are not told all of the truths about heaven. But what we do know about the new heaven and the new earth that Jesus is going to be king, ruling and reigning in, and that we will be with Him forever, is that it is going to be great. It is going to be beyond comprehension. It is, if you want to put a picture on Vision, think of heaven. This just can't get any better. For multiple reasons, not just because it is a beautiful place with jewels of stone in the walls and not just having a glassy water and having streets that are paved with gold, or if you're a technical neat Nick, the street that is gold in heaven, and all of the pictures that God gives us and beautiful things, that is great and that is wonderful. But the most beautiful part about the vision of heaven is the fact that in heaven there is no more sin, there is no more death, there is no more sorrow, there is no more illness, there is no more hurting or hurting one another. There is only perfect, sinless living under the rule and reign of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. And He is Lord of all now, and He rules, the Bible says, even over this earth. It is His footstool. But in the new heavens, in the new earth, the curse has been totally removed. And that, beloved, is going to be a beautiful thing. That's going to be a beautiful place. There will be no prison ministries in heaven. Amen? And we're thankful for the work that they're doing here on earth, because we are all prisoners that need to be set free from the bondage of sin. So to get an idea of what vision is the preferable future. If you're a young man or a young woman and you're thinking about your future and you say, one day I'd like to get married. Usually the vision of the preferable future is really grand. Right, I met with Lucas and Jessica tonight and talked about weddings and talked about how weddings are beautiful and it's going to be beautiful no matter what. But weddings, we want to go grander and grander and grander just because it's a big deal. We have this vision from the time a little girl is young. She has this vision of her wedding day. She's the fairy princess and she's met Prince Charming, and it's a grand thing. You follow me? That's what a vision is. Right? When I tell my daughters I've already picked out a husband for them, their names are Rajit and Rajul, and I said they're good men. They're 45 or 50, and they have no teeth and those types of things. But I met them when I was in India. They're great guys, and I tease them about, you know what? That is not the vision that they have in their mind of a preferable future. When I see my future. The funny thing will be if they marry somebody named Rajit and Rajul, all right? I would have no problem with them marrying somebody from that was Indian. And I wouldn't mind if their name was Rajit and Rajul. That would be extra funny. But that's not the vision of the preferable future. Right? We think of something good. We shoot for something that we desire. And I believe this is important in training our children. And I believe it is important to encourage our children to dream great and noble dreams. And it is important for us as adults to dream great and noble dreams. To have a vision of the preferable future so that you can set your sights on something that you desire. Hopefully it is a desire that is pleasing to the Lord. That's the point I'm getting at. But it is something that you would enjoy doing or that you would like to do if God would allow you to do it, and it would be according to His will. And so I believe that giving these dreams or casting a vision for your children and for your own life is absolutely necessary. Do not squash the dreams of your children. I want to give a verse. It's a well-known verse, and you could probably quote it. It says in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. That part of the verse never really gets brought into the picture, but in fulfilling the preferable vision of your future, it should be in accordance with God's law. Right? Your vision should be one that is noble. Your vision should be one that is ethical, one that is pleasing to God, one that He would be well pleased with. And I believe that this verse of Scripture can be applied in many different ways. We need vision for our work that we do as a church. We need vision in our own family, in leading our families in a preferable future and direction that is it is according to the will of the Lord. But it's going to be different for every person, because every person is going to have different gifts and talents that have been given to them by the Lord, spiritual gifting that's been given. So the vision is going to be manifest in different ways for different people, although the supreme vision should be the glory of God in all things. Amen. Amen? Whether you eat or drink, you do all to the glory of God. So the ultimate vision for all of us is that whatever we do, we want to do it to glorify God. Right? To bring glory to God means that we illuminate God. It's an interesting thought. I was studying this week, and it used the idea of a poker that is stuck into the fire that you would prod the wood with. And if you've never been around an actual fire with a poker, then you are too young. All right, but it's a rod of iron that you would poke the wood with. And they would sometimes set it in the fire, or a blacksmith would have a piece of metal they would put in the fire, and it would become glowing and radiating in its heat, and it would almost be clear when it gets to the point of its hottest temperature. And that's really where we get the idea of glorifying God. So when we have the idea that our lives should bring glory to God, is the things that we do, the vision that we seek to fulfill in our lives and for His kingdom, should cause God to be radiated amongst the heathen, as the psalmist said, amongst all people. So when you say, whatsoever I do, whether I eat or drink, I'm going to do all to the glory of God. I'm going to do all with the desire to bring magnificence to God. You say, well, God is magnificent. Absolutely. But His subjects, His children, His followers are the ones that testify of His magnificence in the world. We need to bring glory to God. And we need to train our children to do the same thing. I have said many times, and I will continue to say it, my desire for my children is not that they would become great in the eyes of the world, though God may put them in that place. My desire is that in whatever they do, they would pursue with diligence and with fervor and with vision and with the supreme purpose of glorifying God. It does not matter what occupation they choose, as long as it is noble, as long as it is not ungodly or illegal, right? It's well-pleasing to the Lord, and they can do that. They believe this is what God has called them to do, and they're going to serve Jesus wherever they are, whether it's in a foreign land someplace, or whether it's in America, and whatever their occupation may be, that their supreme and highest calling is to honor the Lord with their life. I'm okay with that. Right? Whether it's to be a nurse like Ben Stormer's going to do, or whether it's to be a carpenter and to have a business, or to work for a company building buildings and being able to be a witness, or to being in the military and pursuing to the best of your ability to use your skills and talents for the glory of the Lord and to be a witness in that place, God will use it, and it is a great and noble thing. And your children need to be encouraged with these dreams. Right, the Bible, and by the way, the Bible talks about the old men dreaming dreams and the young men having visions. Right, don't stop dreaming great dreams just because you've gotten a little older. Remember Caleb? He waited 40 years. But when he got into the promised land, what did he say? I want that mountain. I'm still going for it. I still have the vision of the preferable future, and it's not wandering around in the wilderness. It's the mountain of plenty where the grapes of Esdrel grow, where the milk and honey flows. Yes, there are giants in the land, but my God's big enough to take care of the giants. I want the mountain. That's vision. Vision doesn't die over the long haul. Vision may be modified as God brings new things into your life and helps you to see something more clearly, but vision shouldn't die. If vision dies, the people perish. Right? If vision dies, the people perish. So we need to have vision. We need to have a heart to see what God would have for us. Now, as children, I'll answer your question later, okay? As children grow up, if they're being raised in the right way, I believe they're gonna have dreams. Unless every day they are pounded into the pavement with verbal abuse or physical abuse or some other type of abuse, which happens so sadly to children all over the world. Not just in America, not just somewhere else. Everywhere, the sinfulness of man sometimes comes upon children, and it is terrible, and it is sad, and oftentimes it's afflicted at the hands of their own parents. But children that are being raised and encouraged, they'll have dreams. My point is simple. Encourage those dreams. As a boy, I wanted to be lots of things. And my parents didn't discourage those dreams. I wanted to be probably the biggest pursuits. I wanted to be a fireman. I wanted to be a policeman. And then I wanted to have a farm at the same time, or a ranch. And then at one time I grew up in Astoria, so I wanted to have a fleet of fishing vessels, crabbing vessels, and I had, you know, names for them, and I would draw pictures of them, and those were just dreams of what's the possibilities? What does God have for me? And little did I know that though the dreams of being a firefighter as a young man, walking around my neighborhood with the raincoats that had the little, things that went in, like the firefighter coats that went in and then clipped over, and I had my fire hat on, and I had my red radio flyer red wagon with a bundle of hose in it, and I would walk around the neighborhood and ask the neighbors if there was any fires that needed to be put out. I was a dreamer. And those dreams, I believe those dreams help children shoot for things that are good and noble and godly. I wanted to be a police officer. I'd put on the holster and the belt and have a badge, just like my boys do, or in the military, in the army. Man, they're all camoed out. My boys love that, and most boys do. And some girls, except for it's pink camouflage, which really doesn't work in the woods. Right? But I had a vision for different things. I wanted to be in the military. That was my long-term goal when I got older, was to go into the military, get into law enforcement when I got out, into things like the FBI, and then one day run for Senate, run for office, which, God changed all that, which is good. See, God expanded the vision, but all of those things were of a noble pursuit. You know, I didn't grow up saying, one day I hope to be the best dope dealer in Astoria. I hope to have a chain of dope dealers from here to Mexico. That's not a good vision, right? My wife is giving me the look. The look means you shouldn't have said that, right? There are some things that are not noble. And if your child has that dream, you need to say, you know, there are better things in life, right? And it may not be to that extreme, but it may be something you want to guide them a little bit. But dreams help you progress in life to reach them. One of the things that drives me bonkers is when I ask an 18-year-old, so what do you feel like God wants you to do with your life? And I'm okay if they give me a list of five things. Well, I mean, they're going to be this, 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 and this. But if their answer is, get to the next level of World of Warcraft and see how many days in a row I can stay up on Mountain Dew. Great goals! Right? You know what? A lot of people's lives perish in the sense of do not make progress because they don't dream good dreams. They don't have good vision. Our children need dreams. They need a dream. It does not matter if they're not going to become that. Right? Literally, when I tease and I say, hey, I'm not teasing actually. When I say things like, if my kids were garbage collectors, I'd be fine with that. That's actually a good needed business that's going to be there for a long time. When I was a kid, the garbage men actually came to your house. They were brawny, tough. They usually always had their sleeves cut off. And they'd grab the garbage can, throw it up under their shoulder. And where was OSHA back then? Anyway, and they would bring it to the dump. And they would dump it in there. They were tough guys. I wanted to be that too. You know, there's nothing ignoble about it. But having dreams. But you know what can really dishearten the heart of a child or even an adult is when you have a good dream, something that's noble, something that is not unethical or ungodly, and it's shot down. Especially, please listen to me, dads, especially by fathers, and please listen to me, moms, and mothers. Dad, I want to be a cowboy one day. That's stupid. Nobody's cowboys anymore. Okay, let me ask you a question. Where do you think we get beef from? You may find it packaged in the grocery store, but there are still cowboys out there raising cattle. They may ride four tracks instead of horses, and some of them still ride the horses. But guess what? There's still cowboys out there. There's still farmers out there. Shocking, isn't it? We just thought Safeway produced all of that. Don't shoot down that dream. The reality is every boy wanted to be a cowboy at one time or another. Or something tough, manly, cool. Your girls, I want to be a great musician one day. Hey, you know what it's going to take? It's going to take a lot of practice, a lot of hard work. But I believe God could use you in that. Instead of saying, I've been listening to you practice for 2 years. You sound like fingernails grating on a chalkboard. You need to choose a different dream. What are you going to do? You're going to squash the dreams. That whether they become that or not is not the issue. But that God, I believe God uses vision and dreams to move us along. What do you think kept the children of Israel who were under the age of 20 still encouraged wandering around the wilderness for 40 years? What was it? It was a vision of a preferable future. It was the vision, Brother Harper, that Joshua and Caleb came back with. When the others said, hey, we are like grasshoppers in their sight. They will surely destroy us. Joshua and Caleb said, hey, this is a land that floweth with milk and honey. This is better than you can imagine what God has prepared for us. And the giants, hey, we're on God's side. He's on our side. But they kept the vision for 40 years and they received the fulfillment of that vision. What's your vision? What's your vision for your family? What's your vision for your life? It can include a lot of different things. Your vision, Philemon, is not going to be the same as Brother Lewis's vision. It should have the same chief end, to glorify God. But there's many ways that we can do that. There are some things that are according to the law are the same for each one of us. Right? Would we agree with that? There are some things that God desires from every one of us that must be fulfilled. But happy is he, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Right? The law of God stands. It's right for every one of us. Right? The law stands for more than just all of the commandments of the Old Testament. It speaks of the truth, the precepts, the principles of Scripture. Not just the law, somebody say the ceremonial law or something like that. It speaks of more than that. The law is a way to sum up much of the Old Testament. The law, the prophets, right? God wants us to fulfill Scripture in whatever particular vision He gives us. But I believe that God is a good and gracious God, and that especially if we're following His will, He wants to help us to fulfill that vision. He wants us to go through the open doors that He gives us. Not the doors that we push open, but the open doors that He gives us. And when we do that, 1 Corinthians 16, this verse just came to my mind when we were in prayer. In 1 Corinthians 16, it's a familiar verse. It says this, Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. He says, "For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permit." He had told them he was going to come to take up the collections in verses 1 through 6. It says, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me. We like great doors, don't we? But don't forget this. There are many adversaries. In the pursuit of your vision that God has given you, the pursuit of our vision as a church that we try to lay out every year, it's really a simple vision in desiring to fulfill the great commandment to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, and to seek to reach the world through the Great Commission. And then I lay out specific things that are kind of just been on my heart and the vision that God has laid upon my heart for the church. And God uses all different kinds of people and different gifts to fulfill those different areas. But it is unified vision as a church to say, here's where we're going. But it doesn't mean it's without adversaries. The Sunday night after next, I'm starting back up in the Sound Doctrine series. And where we left off was we finished the Holy Spirit. And the next is of the devil and Satan. I'm going to try to not spend too much time there just because, you know, we need to learn about him. But we don't need to dwell on him as much as we need to dwell on Christ. But he is real. We have an enemy. We have adversaries. And when you're seeking to fulfill your vision, remember that. When we as a church are seeking to fulfill the vision that God has given us, we need to remember they're adversaries. God is going to provide for us a way. It doesn't mean there's not difficulties. When we teach our children to dream great dreams and to have great vision, it's one of the sharp parts of the arrowhead. I believe it's so important from a very young age to instill in the hearts of your children a desired, preferable future, a vision that you're casting for what God could use them for. And you can give them ideas. You can give them examples. One of the reasons that I encourage every family in the church, read great missionary biographies. Read great biographies of great Christian business people. Read great biographies of great Christian political leaders and scientists and doctors. And read them because it brings inspiration for vision of a preferable future in their lives. But I believe it needs to start very young. Don't squash the vision. And it also needs encouragement. Because you will face adversaries. Guess who else is going to face adversaries? Your children. Hey, the adversary may be when they hit a certain age and they start to struggle in a certain academic coursework, and they need that coursework for their preferable future. Maybe the first line of defense isn't, "Well, you're not good in math, boy. You better do something else." Maybe it's, "Hey, let's help. Let's get some tutor. Let's get some helpers to help you work through this. Because maybe you're just missing something, and once you get it, you're off to the races." There's an adversary. We've got to help our children. We've got to help them work through those things. Guess what, grown-ups? We have something called pride. We pass it on to our children through the sin nature. And there's a lot of times when we need help with our adversaries.
but we don't let anybody know we have them, so we don't get the help we need. We need to drop the pride. Why? Because the preferable vision is worth dropping our pride for. To bring glory to God and honor to God is worth removing our pride to get the help we need to fulfill the vision. It's important. It's very important. As a pastor and leading a church, man, we have had, as a church, I think we could all agree and say this, we have had, not only in our history, but in the last 8 years, we have had a great and effectual door opened unto us. Amen? And we have seen many people come to faith in Christ. We have seen many people follow in believers' baptism, and many people whose families were really disintegrated come back and be strong. But it's not been without adversaries. And for your pastor and for the leaders in our church, we face adversaries. And sometimes it's hard to admit that there are adversaries, that there are enemies, because you're trying to be strong. You're trying to be a leader. You've been there? Maybe it's on your boat with Shane. Maybe it's in the office. Maybe it's at the store that you work at. And you feel like it's a sign of weakness if you acknowledge that you're facing adversaries. That's why I asked you to pray for me tonight. Because we've been battling so many good things. Hey, we've got adversaries. And you know what? It's been a blessed couple of days. I was able to spend many hours with a pastor, Andy Roberts, who was up here a couple weeks ago, and just really talk over so many things that are on my heart and decisions that need to be made in the church and moving forward. And just to help open up my eyes and see some of the ways that the adversary has beaten me up a little bit. And I just want to just publicly ask you and to continue to pray for your pastor. And I want to acknowledge that as I've always tried to be very forthright and honest with you, I want to acknowledge that there have been some seasons where I have pulled back. I've been a little distant. And it's not because I don't love you. I'm just being real, real honest with you. It's just because I've been really striving and battling against the enemy. And I'm not talking about personal sin or anything like that. I'm just saying, just in the ministry, just the fight that it is, if God is doing something great with His church, and He has, right? I know you guys have been a little bit sleepy lately, but it is okay. Russell Smith calls me up and says, I've been listening to the sermons online. What's wrong with those people? They don't say amen anymore. But it's okay to be thankful for what God's done. But it's also important to remember that when God is at work, so is the enemy. And He's going to attack those who are seeking to lead. And so I just want to say I'm sorry if I've not been as engaged as is my norm. And my heart and my prayer is that I would be that engaged pastor, and not to feel distant in my own heart, but to feel close and warm. And so I'm just telling you a little bit from my heart about that, and just to say, I love you guys, and we've got a work to do, and we can't let the enemy defeat the work that needs to be done. Amen? Our work is too important. Like Nehemiah of old, when Sanballat and Tobiah came by, and he says, come down, we want to have lunch with you, we want to talk. He says, I cannot come down. Why? Because the work was too great. There was 52 days to accomplish the task at hand of rebuilding the walls. And what happened when the walls were rebuilt? The vision for the preferable future was that worship in Nehemiah 8 was restored again to the people of God in Jerusalem. So my prayer is for our family, for our children, for all of our families, for all of our children, and for our church, that we would keep a clear vision, ultimately and supremely, to glorify God in all things. And how that measures out individually, going to be a little bit different for every person. With different gifts, the Bible says different administrations of those gifts, that's okay. We don't have a carbon copy, you know, this is the way you do it. There is a vision that God has given to you, and if He hasn't, you need to seek the Word of God and just ask God to give you clarity of what you are to do. If you're a parent, if you're a future parent, can I ask you, help your kids dream great dreams. And then give them the encouragement that with God's help and in God's will, they can fulfill the vision that God gives to them. And they can illuminate, they can bring a glowing testimony glorifying God in whatever field or occupation that they may be in, whether it's a preacher, whether it's a teacher, whether it's a plumber, an attorney, a military personnel, doesn't matter what it is. If it's noble and good, God can use it for His glory. Guess what? That's God's plan. Because everybody doesn't come into church. We gather as His people, but we scatter throughout the week to bring Him glory wherever we go. Would you pray that God would help us to be a people of vision? As a church, as husbands and wives, as parents, as singles, single moms, single dads, no matter who you are, you need to have a vision for the preferable future that God would have for you. Let's pray.